ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Spring Black Friday savings are happening now at the Home Depot, and also at your front door. Get spring savings delivered to you with free delivery on over 2 million items. Everything you need for spring cleaning, patio decorating, and front yard gardening sent right to you. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Spring your way with Spring Black Friday savings only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Hello and welcome into this edition of the Golf Channel Podcast with Rex and Lav. We have a new leader at this Players Championship. Xander Schauffele shot a 7-under 65 on Saturday to leapfrog Wyndham Clark and take the outright 54-hole lead. Wyndham Clark is now a shot back after a Saturday 70. Brian Harman, go Dogs, is two shots behind. Rex, you've had a very long day. We'll certainly get into that at the end of this podcast. What's your takeaway right now, though?
It actually turned around late in the day. It looked early, and you and I kind of talked about this yesterday. It was starting to feel like Webb Simpson year, right? And this is not meant as a slap to Webb Simpson at all. It's just runaway victories aren't the most exciting things to cover. And we were saying that, all right, Webb led by 5 through 2 rounds and 7 through 3 rounds. And we were like, if Wyndham is leading through by 7 through 3 rounds, one of us should probably go home. We were joking. We didn't mean it. But I was taken by two things. One, Xander played pretty much a flawless round, and he did it from the rough. I mean, he kind of told me after the round when I asked him, what did you do well? And he said, well, I was just told I only hit 12 fairways. So apparently I didn't drive the ball very well. And I kind of half-heartedly said, I'm sorry. And he goes, don't feel sorry for me. I think it kind of speaks to the dynamic between those two. And I am actually very much looking forward to this Sunday round. And this is how I want to sell it. Like, we seem to have a hard time on the PGA Tour and professional golf selling final rounds based on the ratings from last week at Bay Hill. So I'm going to try to sell this one a little better. Just for context, this is the eighth time that Xander and Wyndham have been paired together on the PGA Tour. You may want to know that Wyndham actually holds the head-to-head advantage, 4-2-1 in those head-to-head pairings. Now, the most important one, biggest one, obviously, goes back to last year at the Wells Fargo Championship on Sunday. Wyndham outdueled Xander to win his first PGA.
Blew the doors off him. It wasn't even close last year.
It wasn't. In Xander's defense, he was two strokes back going into that final round. But you're right. It wasn't. And I caught up with Xander this afternoon. And I'm trying to manufacture something here. So work with me a little bit. And I asked him, what did you remember about that Sunday at Quail Hollow? And he said, look, I like Wyndham. We get along. He actually called it a jovial time. But he kind of paused and he goes, quote, it was a little too laid back. And when he kind of expanded on that, he said, look, he has a tendency. He wants to ramp up his intensity. He wants to ramp up his focus. And he said he could start feel it slipping away about midway through that round. And he said what happens when he's not playing his best is he has a tendency to let his mind wander. And that happened on Sunday. And I said, well, did you learn anything from that final round that you can apply on Sunday at TPC Sawgrass? And he kind of gave you that Xander smirk. You know, you've seen it a lot. I've seen it a lot. And he goes, absolutely. Like, so I would not expect there to be a lot of chit chat. It's going to be jovial, but I don't think those two are going to spend much time talking to each other. I think it's going to be all business. And Wyndham clearly did not have his best stuff on Saturday after opening up with just a 65-65, just a barrage. It looked like he was going to blow the doors off the field. We have an event. As you pointed out, there's a lot of guys all the way down to Scottie Scheffler that I would argue if they have a good day and they get a little bit of help, who knows what could happen.
Yeah, I wonder if Wyndham Clark will receive that bulletin because they were very chatty again on Saturday, even though Wyndham was not necessarily
playing to me.
His best and Xander was playing very well. I think, you know, Xander kind of has this burning intensity where he doesn't really acknowledge the crowd all that much. He keeps even the conversation with his caddy, Austin Kaiser, to a bit of a minimum as well. You almost think that he's trying too hard, right? Like, it doesn't seem necessarily natural the way that he's approaching the final rounds. And I think when you look at his record, at least until recently, he was 0-4 with a 54 hole lead. He's actually won his last two. So that was career record is 2 for 6. Perhaps he has stumbled upon a better way to approach those final rounds. And we'll see how it goes on Sunday here at TPC Sawgrass. The thing about Xander to me, Rex, is he's just so relentless. Like, he has absolutely no weaknesses in his game, which is why I thought it was so interesting that he even made the move from his father, Stefan, to Chris Como just a couple of months ago. This was a player in Xander Schauffele who was third last season in strokes gained total. In other words, he does everything exceedingly well. And when I asked him about that on Friday, he said there's basically just one thing that he's trying to do, and that is to creep up his ball speed from kind of the upper 170s to the low to mid 180s. It's not I want to get bigger in the gym, you know, I want to work on my putting. It's I want to increase my ball speed. His rationale being we have access to all these stats, and it has been proven through his stats guys that if you are at that ball speed and hitting the ball at a certain trajectory, it's going to give you a distinct advantage on the courses that they play on the PGA Tour. The risk, Xander said, is that by adding speed and adding distance, you know, that can creep into other aspects of your game, most notably your approach play, and in particularly your wedge play. That's why I think it's been so impressive what Xander Schauffele has been able to do so far in 2024. He has 4 top tens. It's second most on tour behind only Scottie Scheffler, and he's leading here at arguably the most penal golf course that these guys are going to face all year in terms of just the trouble that they're going to face. A left or right miss on a lot of these holes is punished severely. Like, you're essentially looking at least one drop shot. Just ask Wyndham Clark in the 17th hole here. And so when Xander was asked, you know, how he's able to do this, playing this caliber of a golf course against this caliber of a field in the midst of going through a swing change, he said, quote, just full trust. He trusts Chris Como a lot, but yet you still see Xander Schauffele making a lot of sort of motions, trying to mimic the positions that he's trying to get into. I'll be very curious, Rex, to see if these swing changes hold up in the cauldron of Sunday pressure and trying to win the Players' Championship.
Worth noting, he headed straight to the range to go work with Chris Como after his round. So to your point, I think there's still a little discomfort there. It's obviously new in the relationship, so I think it's going to take a little while. I just looked it up. I was curious. You asked him yesterday, like what's the threshold? You pointed out to him that you're third last year, strokes gained total. Like, what's the threshold? And he kind of shrugged and he goes second and then first. Like, it's very quintessential.
Stupid question, Lav. Idiot.
Well, he didn't even say that. He just kind of gave you that smile. It's worth pointing out he's first in strokes game total this week. And he also made 138 feet of putts today. Like, he really putted well. He hit a lot. Wyndham,
including a 58 yeah, footer on 14 that gave him the lead for the first time. Like, he's doing everything well. But one shot margin. I mean, if we had Jay Ray on this podcast, Justin Ray, stats guru, he would tell you the closing percentage of a one shot lead on the PGA Tour is probably very small. So it's going to be very interesting to see what he does. What do you think, Rex, of Wyndham Clark's day? He obviously didn't have it with his long game, and yet he's still just a shot back.
Well, I think the 17th hole speaks to all of it, right? Like, he could have kind of crumbled a little bit there. Now, granted, we have a whole round to go tomorrow, and you're right. Like, you can make up strokes really, really quick on this golf course. But to put it in the drink in a very, very tough situation, still not exactly sure what happened there. It seems like
he didn't just put it in the drink.
He was 20 yards short. Yeah, it was really bad.
With a full sandwich, you never see a player of that caliber hit a shot as shockingly poor as that.
I think that's the shot I hit last time I played here. I mean, it was a good 20 yards short. It wasn't even necessarily close. But to be able to say bogey there, you just kind of saw the emotion when he made that putt. Like, that was big, because you didn't want to give two away, because that actually probably would have opened the door for Brian Harman to be paired with Xander in that final round. It kind of goes to the stat that I just told you, the intensity that Xander burns with. That's why I was kind of thrown with the idea that head-to-head, Wyndham seems to have his number, 4-2-1 in those head-to-head matchups going into tomorrow. I really think it's going to be fun watching these two, because, again, I don't expect much chit-chat. I also don't expect Wyndham to come out and struggle like he did today. Now, that's, again, taking, like I did earlier in the week, a bit of a leap of faith. But when he is on, he's proven it. I mean, we saw it certainly on Saturday at Pebble Beach when he shot a 60 to win the 54-hole event. Certainly last year at the U.S. Open LACC in Wells Fargo. Even last week, I mean, he did finish second to Scottie Scheffler. But when he's on, he's really, tough to beat, because he doesn't make mistakes.
He blazes just red hot. I mean, he can just catch fire
in a hurry. I mean, he can rip off 3-4 birdies in a row and really put a lot of pressure on you.
And I'll say this. I just did live from with Todd Lewis, and I was listening to the segment before us, and it was Brandel and Paul McGinley. And actually, I will say this. Paul McGinley made a really, really compelling argument of why statistically he felt like Brian Harman is the guy to beat tomorrow. Now, I don't know if I particularly agree with that, but I do like where Brian Harman is. Talking with him after the game, he went straight to the idea that this is his favorite PGA Tour event for one reason, and you and I have talked about it all week long. It really doesn't favor one style of play. We've seen bombers win here. We've seen plotters win here. And certainly Harm sort of trends towards the latter on that front. So it gives him sort of some freedom that he doesn't have on the vast majority of PGA Tour golf courses. When he goes to Quail Hollow, he knows he's already making up strokes because guys are hitting it 20 yards by him, 30 yards by him, and they've got shorter clubs and all those things compound over 72 holes. He doesn't have to deal with this tomorrow. So I thought Paul made a really good argument. And again, I'll go all the way down to Scottie Scheffler. Depending on how it works out, we could have a shootout.
Just touching on Wyndham Clark, I still like Wyndham Clark to win this golf tournament because he did not clearly have it with his long game today. He actually lost strokes to the field off the tee, and his approach, obviously none worse than the chunk on 17. I was sitting right behind it, and he hit that shot so fat, Rex, that he was literally brushing off like dirt and debris from his cheeks and his forearm. Like you and I have done that. We're slapping it off, you know, kind of a wet, soggy golf course, and it sprays all over you. Like you never see the fifth ranked player in the world doing that. But Wyndham Clark's putter kept him in a great putts on 7, 11, 12, obviously 17 to stay in it. And talking to his caddy, John Ellis, afterward, he said that he told Wyndham walking off the golf course, like, this was your bad round. You got it out of the way. You still shot 70. You're still in the final group. You're going to be able to stare Xander right in the eyes and see exactly what he does. Let's refocus and get after it on Sunday. You see this all the time. Tiger Woods talked about it endlessly back in his prime. Like, you're not going to play 72 flawless holes. Ideally, you play 63 or 67, but this was clearly Wyndham's poor round. Clearly did not have it from a full swing standpoint, but I still like him a lot. Just a single shot back. You mentioned Brian Harman. I mean, no one's played better over the past 2 days combined than Harm. 65, 64 the last 2 days. His approach play has been razor sharp. He's filling it up on the greens again, just like he did last year at the Open Championship. How much of a threat do you realistically think he is two shots back? Not in that final group, not going to have the intense glare of the spotlight either.
He shot a 64 hitting a right-handed shot, for those who don't know. Brian Harman is left-handed. He actually told me after the round that he can actually play pretty decent right-handed, so we might actually see more of that. I do like his chances. I don't know if I'm quite as bullish as Lee, although he made a compliment. I mean, again, he's done everything here. He's finished third. He's missed the cut and pretty much done everything in between, and I just feel like he came into this week. I reached out to his swing coach, Justin Parsons, and he said he didn't have a good prep week. He had a great prep week. He actually sent me some videos of his swing pointing out everything he's doing perfectly. He's perfectly on plane. His spine angle is perfect through impact.
Can you actually send JP a couple swings of mine? Because I'm doing absolutely nothing.
Sure.
Nothing. Well,
that's what he wants to see. He wants to see that big upright chunk that gave you arthritis in your elbow. That's exactly what JP. Sure. I'll send it to him. But there's just a tremendous confidence there. And Todd brought up something on our live from hit that I hadn't even thought of. He's the only guy in this field, or he's the guy in the field that's won a major championship most recently. Like, there's no reason for us to look at him and dismiss him for whatever reason you think you want to apply to it. He's playing well. He has a good history on this golf course. It's a golf course that suits his game, and there aren't too many of those on the PGA Tour. And if anyone should have confidence right now, I would say after a Scottie Scheffler or Wyndham Clark, it would be a Brian Harman. I am concerned. Because I don't know, for those of you who want to get kind of the inside how the sausage is made, I'm sitting between Ryan Lavner and Mark Schlabaugh from ESPN, and you will not find two bigger Georgia homers. And I'm not quite sure if I can make it through an entire afternoon of dealing with that if Harman wins today.
A lot of woofing, a lot of barking. A running joke in the media center is that when Schlabaugh is filing tournament previews, he always has like a little subsection of low bulldog of the week. I think Brian Harman actually would have been a good pick this week at TPC Sawgrass just because he's so position oriented. He is so precise. He's coming off a good week last week at Bay Hill. He basically said, if I could play well at Arnie's place, which is a bomber's paradise, that he should be able to absolutely mop it up at TPC Sawgrass, and he has certainly played well over the last 2 days. I love this leaderboard, Rex. This is the most prototypical stadium course leaderboard, where you have Xander Schauffele and Wyndham Clark, two of the top five players in the world, Brian Harman, also a top 10 player in the world, reigning Open champion, and then it gets a little bit wacky. Right, you have a Maverick McNealy who has never won on the PGA Tour. You have Matt Fitzpatrick, a former U.S. Open champion. You have Sahith Theegala, who is one of the most erratic drivers of the golf ball on the planet, and yet you have him succeeding here at a place that is quite schizophrenic in certain spots. You have Scottie Scheffler. You have Nate Lashley. You could not find two players kind of on more disparate ends of the spectrum. What are your impressions of this leaderboard? Because it certainly looks like, ever since this tournament went back to the March finish, it looks potentially like another top 10 player in the world is going to win here.
I was kind of against it because, keep in mind, like, go back a little bit in time. The PGA Tour put the hard sell on everyone when they initially moved it from March to May that it would play better in May. And I think I bought in on that. And having watched a couple of May players, I actually do think it plays better in May. It doesn't look as good. And the scores aren't nearly as low, and we probably don't end up.
I think it's a better test.
It is.
It's a better test. I'm not sure.
It should be played on Bermuda. It should be hard and bouncy. It should be firm and fast. And I think we'll get a version of that tomorrow because they've gotten absolutely perfect weather this week. So they have that going for them. But what you end up with a March players is exactly what you said. I mean, it's such an eclectic leaderboard. When you consider that Fred Funk won on this golf course, and Phil Mickelson won on this golf course. And I can keep doing those comparisons down the list. You can't find more golfers who are on opposite ends of the spectrum. And I just think that's the beauty of TPC Sawgrass. It's probably why, and I kind of dug into this a little bit earlier in the week, it's probably why you've never had a repeat champion. And look, I do think Scotty has a chance tomorrow, but it's very much a long shot. I mean, based on what Wyndham and Xander does, it just does not favor one style of play.
I mean, when you look at the list of winners since this tournament moved back to March in 2019, it's Rory, it's JT, it's Cam Smith, Scottie Scheffler, and in all likelihood, you're looking at a top 10 player in the world winning, whether it's Brian Harman, whether it's Wyndham Clark, or whether it's Xander Schauffele. Like, that's pretty stout. I think it's inarguable that this has been kind of a resounding home run for the PGA Tour to move it and have this quote unquote championship season. I don't even know if that's the official billing for it anymore, but to have those
season.
Remember they used to call it the championship season like a year or two ago. Like they wanted to, it was all caps, like a capital C, capital S. I think it's kind of hard. I don't think it ever actually caught on.
I just said it
on this podcast, but like,
I think the signature events kind of muddled that. Yeah. But yeah. I do remember what you're saying. Yeah.
Is it signature events with capital S and capital E? Who really knows? But the idea was to obviously have the cadence of one big event starting in March. I think it's been great. I don't think it's necessarily the best test that TPC Sawgrass can be, especially when you have sort of these bumpers of rough on some of the holes, eliminating some of the potential drama. Like, remember back in May, like this place was a house of horrors. If it was baked out and brown, you saw guys kind of ping ponging it back and forth. Like, I think it was more fun that way, but I think it's hard to quibble with the list of winners that we've had so far.
Well, and I did want to circle back around on something you said a couple of minutes ago about this being so one of the most penal tests on the PGA Tour. I tend to disagree with that. It wasn't even in the top 10 of toughest golf courses last year on the PGA.
There's water on every single hole.
It is, but if you're a PGA Tour pro, for you and I, yeah, it's very intimidating. I don't want to play.
I hate it.
I hate
playing this golf course. But
I said on air 10 was my favorite tee shot. I completely lied. I went and watched 10 the other day, and I'm thinking, absolutely not. I never want to hit that tee shot again. It's not even in the top 10, though, for these guys because they understand they can play point A to point B. Golf.
I didn't say the most difficult. I said the most penal. The penalty for an errant shot is severe. I think that's inarguable. I mean, there's water on literally every single hole.
Yes, but also Pete Dye's signature is kind of playing with your mind, which he does a really good job on this golf course and doing it, and making it look like you have no room to hit it when, in fact, you have probably a lot more fairway than you think. I think that's what most players who've been here enough times realize. Like, yeah, visually for you and I standing on the 10th tee, that looks like a house of horrors.
Oh, it's horrible.
I don't even want – I just want to throw my ball in the water and walk to the green. For these guys, they have an idea that as long as you're playing well, and most of these guys are playing well, that you're going to hit it where you're looking and go from there. It's a point A to point B golf course. It kind of handcuffs guys. Like, I'm always amazed at, and again, we talked about Brian Harman really, really loving this golf course. Well, of course he does, because this takes away the bomber's advantage and brings him closer to the middle of the pack where he probably should be. But I've heard it from the other side too. The bombers don't particularly like showing up here. I think that's part of what we've seen Rory McIlroy's frustration the last couple of days. And there has been nothing but frustration coming from Rory McIlroy. No, he's not driving the ball well. And clearly he is stuck in between two kinds of swings, but this could probably get very, very confining, very, very aggravating for someone like that who depends on being able to use his driver as a weapon, as an advantage.
Let's play a fun game, Rex. Scottie Scheffler is currently in a tie for sixth. He's five shots back. He said that he was feeling better because of the neck issue that popped up on his second hole on Friday. He got more treatment. He said it loosened up as the round went on. He said he's still at 100%, kind of slapping it around out there. So what will Scottie Scheffler finish? Give me the over under. What would you put it? 3.5? 3.5? Scottie's eventual finish on this leaderboard. Again, he's five shots back and currently in a tie for sixth.
You're learning gambling so well. Yeah, I think 3.5 is a good number. And I'd probably take the over just a little. Maybe I'd buy a half a point and go to 4 and then take the under. If that's the way I want to do it, I think that's the way it works. I think top five is probably right there in the radar. So, yeah, the reason I won't go any higher than that is because I think as it stands now, he has to shoot a 62, right? If either one of those guys at the top of the leaderboard, Xander and Wyndham, have a decent day. Not a great day. If they shoot somewhere in the 68, 69, 70 category, man, a 62 is really, really hard. I mean, the golf course has been gettable this week, and it's going to be similar weather tomorrow. And I will say this. He shot 68 today, and he's clearly still hurting. So I think you have to give him a monsoon of respect, because not only is he gutting it out, and look, he completely dismissed the idea that this was somehow heroic. He's like, look, this happens all the time. This is golf. I'm just going out and I'm doing my job. Please don't make me a superhero. I don't feel comfortable in that wrapping. But I think what he did yesterday with a 69, when clearly we saw how much pain he was in, and today where he actually said he felt like as he got more and more into the round, his neck actually loosened up. I can see him coming out tomorrow and shooting something closer to 65, but man, 62 is asking so much.
Yeah, there's so much grit in Scottie Scheffler. I think the more we learn about Scottie, the more golf fans should actually respect him even more than they do. Like, I think it's easy to just kind of boil him down to this prolific ball striker who occasionally struggles with his putter. But there's a lot of substance there and a lot to admire if you're actually paying attention. All right, Xander Schauffele is leading this tournament 17 under. Who wins the golf tournament and why on Sunday?
I think Xander does win the golf tournament. I think, and it goes back to the story I told off the top, I think there was something that he learned about himself last year during that final round of Quail Hollow. And I don't want to make this about Wyndham. Wyndham didn't try to get in his head. Like, this had nothing to do with it. He admitted, like, look, Wyndham just played better than me. He said, I played well, but Wyndham played better. I think he learned something about himself last year. And look, I think he's going to wrestle with the things that you talked about maybe the intensity can burn a little bit too bright. Maybe he can sort of lose the plot a little bit. But I think when he puts himself into this position with a one-stroke lead on a tough golf course, I mean, I think everyone will tighten up a little bit tomorrow. I don't expect the scores to be quite as low. My guess is you're going to go with Wyndham.
I am going to go with Wyndham. I think it will be close. I think it will be compelling. But to me, I think I'm probably listening a little bit too much to what his caddy John Ellis said. Like, this definitely felt like the usual bad round that a player has. Sure. And the fact that he still made enough putts that he did in shooting 70, I can easily see him shooting a 66 and nipping Xander Schauffele at the end. I do think it'll be a very compelling final round. Rex, you've been on site for about 14 hours on Saturday. Do you care to let the folks at home know exactly what you were doing for so long?
Myself and Todd Lewis had to show up here kind of early this morning. There was a Comcast business, like a business executive forum, and there's a lot of important people in there. And I'm not going to lie, that was the most nervous, nerve-wracking, stressful morning I've had in a long time. It turned out to be a lot of fun, and they just kind of wanted to be relaxed and talk golf. And it was a really, really cool crowd. We had a great time, but man, it was stressful going in there. Bill Gates was not in attendance, but there was enough. As everyone should know, if you don't know, NBC Sports owns the Golf Channel. NBC Sports is owned by Comcast. So put the food chain together. There are a lot of bosses who were sitting in that room that probably didn't even realize they were bosses of you and I. So it And for those of you who listen to the podcast, you know how easy it is for me to say something stupid, to say something I probably regret. So I was kind of tiptoeing around early in this, and it only went on for about 30 or 40 minutes, and it ended up turning into a really cool kind of Q&A with a lot of really cool questions. But whew, it was stressful.
Thanks for sucking it up for this podcast. I'm not sure how much you had left in the tank, especially on day six.
Come on. Me and Scotty play hurt, brother. Me and Scotty play hurt.
But a gamer, to be sure. Thank you also for not sipping an adult beverage during this podcast. The folks in the comment section were aghast at how unprofessional you were.
Sorry.
On Friday. How dare you have an adult beverage at your age?
Won't happen again. I'm sorry.
56. It's definitely going to happen again. And it's definitely going to happen on Sunday night here at TPC Sawgrass. As always, thank you guys for listening to this edition of the Golf Channel Podcast with Rex and Lav. We'll be back on Sunday night for a full recap, not one of these mini pods. We'll be giving the full recap, probably going 45 minutes or longer on the Players Championship. Make sure you guys go to NBCSports.com/golf for the latest news updates. Rex and I will be on live from tomorrow morning. I think this is like 10:30-ish for our final hit of the week. That'll be the last time you see us together doing live television until the Masters. Think about that, folks. Soak it in and savor it.
That's probably not going to be true because we're going to do a round table between now and then. So, but okay.
Who knows? Probably not wearing suits though. No. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back tomorrow night. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday evening.
Thanks for the hoodie.
With Spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop Spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last.
A lot can happen between falling in love with a house online and owning it. Between imagining living there and breathing in your new home for the first time. Having an advocate who can help you navigate the complex world of financing, inspections, negotiating, analyzing the market, and talking through any anxieties that may pop up, that can make all the difference. That's what the expertise of a Realtor can do for you. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors and bound by a code of ethics. Because that's who we are.